The past few weeks on Sunday night, we've been talking about dealing with some of the darker emotions. Tonight, the title of our lesson is The Healing of a Broken Heart. The combination of those words, broken heart, is only found seven times in the English Bible. Five of them are in Psalms. One is in Jeremiah, and it's found one time in Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, which is our text for tonight's study. There the prophet said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. They that may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." If you've ever wondered where those words came from in that song we sung just a few minutes ago, Beauty for Ashes, there it is, Isaiah chapter 63, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Tonight, as we think about the matter of a broken heart, some of us may feel that that's the kind of thing that we really don't need any instruction in. Some of us have got this air and attitude about us that says, you know, I can't be hurt. My heart can't be broken. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It's not going to matter. I don't care. I'm a tough guy or whatever, however you want to look at it. The reality is there's nothing weak in acknowledging that sometimes we may become heartbroken. There are a number of different things that can cause a broken heart, and maybe we ought to just run down the list of a few of them. This certainly is not an exhaustive list, but it will contain some of the kind of things that probably every person here tonight at some time or other in our lives would have to admit, well, you know, I've been through that. I've felt that. I've experienced that. Probably the first and most common thing on the list would have to be the mistakes that we've made. We sometimes don't like to refer to them as what they really are, and so we'll call them matters of poor judgment. But in most cases, it involves something that God's Word calls sin. Sin is so often the cause of a broken heart. In fact, sin is the kind of thing that has its effect far out and away from the nucleus, or you might call it that, of the matter. Sin is far-reaching. Not so much in that so many people participate in my sin, but my sin will often cause a great number of effects in the lives of those around me. And sometimes it's my sin that causes the broken heart of those who love me. Sometimes it's my sin that causes my own broken heart. Sometimes the mistakes that I make, the decisions that I engage in, prove themselves to be very, very poor decisions. And they are the kind of things that I cannot go back and redo. And yet I must always acknowledge that those are the kind of mistakes that I don't need to be making anymore. In fact, I suppose we could say that in this matter of the mistakes and sin and poor judgment or whatever you want to call it, those kind of things that produce a broken heart, it really isn't important what they are. At this stage, it doesn't really matter what they are. What matters is they have happened. We've done them. If they are things that involve sin, we must go forward and not repeat the same sins again. If they are the kind of things that have estranged us from one another, from family, loved ones, friends, or from God Himself, we must repair those broken relationships as well as we possibly can. But the most important thing is that a broken heart needs to be dealt with, no matter what caused it, no matter what the sins were, no matter whose sins they were. If the result is a broken heart, that's what needs to be addressed. Why it was done, how it was done, that's subject for another discussion. The important thing is a broken heart has occurred. And it needs to be fixed. In these causes of a broken heart, I think you'll recognize a common thread that runs through every single one of the illustrations that I'm prepared to give you. Every single one of them come from the life and the writings of a man that we call a man after God's own heart. David had more to say about brokenheartedness than any other of the Bible characters. Perhaps when we think about a broken heart that results from sin and terrible judgment, awful mistakes, Psalm 51 has to come to mind. Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12, is the passage that I want to share with you tonight at this point, where David said, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." It's agreed by most Bible commentators that David penned those words soon after the occasion of his sin with Bathsheba, which resulted not only in the terrible shame and disgrace upon the name of the nation of God's people, it resulted in the death of a good man for no cause, it resulted in the sickness and death of an infant baby. And perhaps there were other far-reaching effects that had terrible effects upon David's family in the long run. David recognizes his sin and asks God for the forgiveness that he needs. Sometimes a broken heart is the result of physical loss and trouble, difficulty. If you're familiar with David at all, you know that in the early years, even after he had been anointed as the next king of God's people, and yet before he was placed upon the throne, he spent a lot of time running for his life, fleeing from the efforts of King Saul, who tried to kill him again and again and again. The terrible unfairness of that entire story is something that strikes a chord within most of us as we respect and admire the dedication that David had toward God and the fact that Saul was God's anointed, and therefore, even though David had more than one occasion when he could have killed him easily, David said, "I will not lay a hand upon the anointed of God." And he hid and ran and took refuge with his enemies. The list is long and fascinating, and all of the things that David went through as he experienced that terrible loss and trouble. In Psalm 38, beginning in verse 8, David says, "I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is known to you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my affection. My neighbors stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek to hurt me speak of ruin and meditate treachery all the day long. Sometimes a broken heart results from death, particularly the death of a loved one, a cherished friend, or someone very special to us. Grief, tragedy, coming in all of its different forms into our lives, often results in brokenheartedness. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we find David fleeing from the city of Jerusalem and from his very throne because of the threat against his life by none other than his own son, Absalom. And as he flees from Jerusalem, some of his former aides and assistants and advisors go so far as to curse him and throw rocks at him. Then who could forget the words of David in 2 Samuel chapter 18 when the word is brought to him that the young man Absalom is dead, no longer posing a threat to David's throne, and yet it's a father's voice that cries out, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would to God I had died instead of thee. Oh, Absalom. My son, surely those are the words from a broken heart." Treachery and betrayal, particularly at the hands of friends and associates, often produce broken hearts. In Psalm 55, we read words that sound vaguely familiar as we study the rest of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, where we come to the story of Judas Iscariot and his betrayal of Jesus. Psalm 55 is one of those messianic prophecies, prophesying what would happen in the life of Jesus. And beginning in verse 12, David says, "It is not enemies who taunt me." I could bear that. "It is not adversaries who deal insolently with me. I could hide from them, but it is you, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, with whom I kept pleasant company. We walked in the house of God with the throng," prophesying of the time when Judas would betray Jesus and deliver him over to the hands of his enemies. This is only a partial list, and the list could be so very long because as we're living here on this earth, we understand the realities of sin, the temporary nature of life itself on this earth, and the difficulties that are rolled into every single life, even though on so many fronts and in so many ways, we are so blessed. But the most important thing that we need to look at about a broken heart is the matter of recovery. How do we get over that? A couple of things are really important for us to remember. First of all, I would suggest that we need to remember that a broken heart doesn't have to be permanent. Sometimes, and depending upon our emotional state, we tend to want to kind of revel in our brokenness. Sometimes we begin to feel a little bit more sorry for ourselves than anybody else does, and we kind of, if we're not careful, we'll enjoy extending this matter of this broken heart on, not to make light or to minimize the reality of anyone's difficulties. And yet we must understand that a broken heart doesn't have to be permanent. It's something that God provides a remedy for. It's something that we should take advantage of God's help in getting over. We sometimes may ask the question, well, what next? What could possibly go wrong now? And whenever we say that, something usually does go wrong. Because as the Bible promises us, our lives here upon this earth are full of trouble, hard and difficult. But everything we read in Scripture promises us that this too shall pass. It's also very helpful that we remember that every single cause of a broken heart is earthly in nature. There will be none of those things on the other side. There won't be any hardship. There won't be any suffering. No death. No betrayal. No difficulties of any kind. That fact alone ought to encourage us to seek to go ahead and beyond those difficulties that threaten our peace of mind so often here upon this earth. Number three, remember that healing broken hearts is Jesus' God-given mission. The text from which we read just a few minutes ago is the exact text that Jesus read from in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 23. After he read that passage, you remember it was there in his own hometown, and the people there hearing him began to question him, "Who is this man? Isn't this the carpenter's son? We know this boy. Why, his brothers and sisters still live here right down the street. When did he get so big and important?" In Psalm 147, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist says, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Psalm 34, beginning in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord delivers or hears them and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all." There's a song that we often sing that I didn't remember it in time to get it in the list to Paul tonight. But here's what it says. "Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one, we get along in sweet accord, but when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word, yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord?" There's one final point. That is that a repaired, broken heart is a very valuable tool. What's that, you say? A valuable tool? Whatever for? Doesn't seem like there would be anything good for it. Doesn't seem like it would be useful for anything. A repaired, broken heart is one of the most important things that we could ever have. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, the comfort that we get from the Lord is one of the most important things that we could ever have, not just for our own good, but for the sake of those who need our encouragement and our comfort. A broken heart can be a terrible thing, and yet it's not a permanent thing unless we decide to make it that. And it's a valuable tool, because part of the reason we're here on this earth, as we glorify God and please Him with what we do, is to encourage and help one another, and to help others along the way to heaven. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.